Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. Praise God. Amen. This is Thanksgiving season, a busy time leading up to Christmas. And we as Christians have a special interest in these holy days. These are holidays to the world. Nothing more, nothing less. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching is their jingle bells, because it's a time that they get most of the money that comes in is through the season of Christmas, and Halloween is running a close second somewhere in the middle between Christmas and Halloween is Thanksgiving. But to the Christian community, Thanksgiving should be a high holy time that we celebrate the reason for the season of Thanksgiving, the reason for the season of Christmas. And that, of course, is Jesus, and not just Jesus in the manger, but Jesus on the cross, and Jesus off the cross, and Jesus risen from the dead, and Jesus ascended to heaven, and Jesus soon to come back again for us. So today I'm thankful for our sacrifice lamb. Every blessing that we have and give thanks for all come back to Jesus dying for us on the cross. If it wasn't for his sacrifice on the cross, the world would have already been destroyed. There would be no blessing for anyone in any place. But because of his intercession on the cross, because he interposed his blood as a sacrifice offering to God for the sinners like you and me and everyone else. Yes, everyone else. The scripture said there's none good, no, not one. You say, well, I'm good. Well, listen, not to God's standard of goodness. Maybe to the rest of us, you're better than most of us. But to God's standard of goodness, there's none good, no, not one. Therefore, in and of ourselves, no matter how good we may deem ourselves to be or may really be, there's none righteous, and it's reiterated in the scripture, there's none righteous, no, not one. So I'm thankful today, because I can't present myself to God as good enough, and I cannot present myself to God, therefore, to be right with him if I'm not good enough. I'm thankful for the sacrifice lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so glad to be a Christian. I'm so glad to declare that I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad for the price that was paid and is paid for my salvation. We sing a song many, many times, or sing with a song, and it's an old song, but it is so clear and so wonderful. It says, may I never lose the wonder of the cross. May I never lose the wonder of the cross. May I see it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost. Oh, friend of mine, when we get over and we get past the cross and the Christ dying upon it for us, suffering and dying for us, and that first love begins to wane, and the fire begins to become just a few little embers. But let me tell you something, those embers that are barely glowing, they can be rekindled when we revisit the cross and the Christ who died for us. You see, the deep devotion that we need in order to be true disciples of Jesus is stimulated by great gratitude, not just for all the blessings that are ours because of the cross, but for the Christ who hung on it and died on it, suffered and died on it, that we might be saved and be made right with God, reconciled to God. There's a song out there, and I love it too. There's so many good gospel songs out there today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. So let's thank Him for the blood supplied because of the cross, and thank Him for the blood applied when we receive Jesus as our Savior. All the merits of the blood that He shed on that cross are ours when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, because God honored His sacrifice. You see, in the Old Covenant, Jesus is called the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. He's wounded for our transgression. He's bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend of mine, all of us like sheep have gone astray, but the suffering servant of Isaiah, the one who said He's wounded for our transgression, it's the word to bore through. Until the Romans came in and brought crucifixion to the forefront, it was not known among the Jewish people as a way of punishing and killing people. But when they came, crucifixion became prominent. Amen. It was a horrible way to die. It was a long, drawn out, suffering, painful experience that we could not imagine. Not only the pain of having the nails in and after the beating He had, but the pain of slowly asphyxiating, of having to push yourself up with feet with nails through them, pull yourself up to get a breath on that cross, and therefore exacerbating and exaggerating the pain just to get a breath while you're trying to breathe in the process. So everything Jesus said from the cross, it was agonizing for Him to push up, pull up, and get enough breath in His lungs to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine the pain and suffering it took for Him to utter a sentence from that cross? Oh, dear friend of mine, but I'm so glad that Jesus, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, becomes the Lamb of God in the new covenant, our sacrifice lamb, suffering and dying that we might be forgiven and reconciled unto God. That's what I'm so thankful for this Thanksgiving season. And I pray that because of the gratitude that we should be stimulated during Thanksgiving, especially for the child of God. Now, the world is not expected to thank a God that they don't believe in, and many don't, or to honor and show such gratitude to Jesus, whom they have not accepted as their Savior, and they don't see the wonder of the cross. They don't see the glory of the sacrificed lamb. But we who are Christians should be keenly aware of the cost of our salvation, and we should develop a deep devotion to Him, born out of a rekindled first love for Him. If you want the first love rekindled, we are told in the book of Revelation to do our first works. Well, where did it all begin? Where is the first stage of our first works? It isn't in something we do, giving to Him, reading the Bible again, praying faithfully again, this and that we did after something occurred. And that is when we really begin to get a glimpse of the glory and the wonder of what Jesus has done, the length God was willing to go when He gave His Son to hang on a cross for us, the length Jesus was willing to go to stay on that cross and pay the sin debt in full. 6 hours of such agony that we could not imagine. And there was a stimulated gratitude that brought a deep devotion. And it was born out of love for Him who had given so much to us. and gratitude, just simple loving Him back for loving us. And living thanks, not just giving thanks, you know, thank you for this food, you know, over the, I mean, really, we should give thanks. And we should be thankful, and we should be thankful for our parents, if you still have them, our friends, our loved ones, our home, our roof over our head, our food in our belly, a car that we can drive, a fire that warms us, an air conditioner that cools us. There's so many things in the material and the natural to be thankful for, but nothing, and I mean nothing, compares to the gift of God's only Son. That's called the logic of the cross. I have coined it that, and so I call it that. In Romans 8, 31, 32, listen, if He loved us enough to offer up His only begotten Son, sacrificial language, amen, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Every blessing flows from the blessing of the Lamb that God had sent to us. A sacrifice that He would accept from us. He provided the Lamb that He could, in our behalf. And that's why He sent Jesus, not to lay in a manger, stay in a manger, but to grow to 33 years of age, full maturity, and at 33 years of age, to let them take Him, let them nail Him to that cross after they beat Him almost to death, and stay on it for 6 agonizing hours until He could push up and pull up and get enough breath in His lungs to say, "It is finished." In fact, He couldn't say 3 words. He said one word that is translated by 3 words. It is accomplished. It is finished. And the word was tetelestai. And Bible scholars said when He said that, it is believed that in all the other statements He made from the cross, in agony, barely able to breathe them out, but when He got enough breath to say tetelestai, which means it's accomplished, it's finished, that He roared that accomplishment, because it was a victorious statement. It wasn't the statement of a dying lamb, although He was a dying lamb figuratively. Amen. Hallelujah. He was dying. This was His last breath, but it was a roar of victory that is reverberating all over the world. Praise God. Men and women, boys and girls that are lost can be saved if we repent of our sins and receive Him as our Savior. The blood supplied by Him on that cross is applied to our life, and every blessing, praise God, flows to us because of His sacrificial death, His suffering and dying on that cross. I want to rerun scripture today out of Revelation 5, 9 through 14. It said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Honey, that's a whole bunch of folks. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to what they're all saying with a loud voice. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And let me tell you something, when you want to bless the Lord, amen, nothing blesses Him like gratitude expressed in thankful praise. I'm going to tell you that again. Nothing blesses Him like gratitude expressed in grateful, thankful praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And every creature, verse 13, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to Him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and forever. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine today, can you amen that He deserves all of the gratitude, all of the devotion that comes from loving Him back, and through loving Him back, for loving us enough to give His Son, our Heavenly Father, and to love His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, enough to deny ourself, take up our cross, and follow Him. Hallelujah. Amen. And not do that reluctantly, but so willingly, from a heart of gratitude and deep, deep devotion to Him. So I pray that your thanksgiving will be marked with a gratitude that flows from His gift to us on the cross, the gift of His Son, our Heavenly Father, giving His Son, offering Him sacrificial language, for God so loved that He gave, and gave to be crucified, gave to be our substitute. God has provided a Lamb. Praise God. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. And that's how we are saved today. And that's why we are blessed today. Oh, may I never lose the wonder of the cross. Hallelujah. May I never, ever, ever lose the wonder of Jesus giving Himself on that cross for me. Oh, friend of mine, I want from our house to your house to not just wish you a happy Thanksgiving, amen, but to pray that the love and devotion and gratitude to God for His gift. You know what Jesus is called in the New Covenant? He's called the unspeakable gift. Amen. Here I am trying to describe the indescribable. Amen. But it's because it is so beyond description that it should stimulate such deep, deep devotion. For who am I? And who are we? And who are you that God would love enough to give His Son to pay our sin debt in full on that old cross? Who are we? How did we get just such status? This is before we came to Christ, before we even acknowledged God, when we were proud and stubborn and prideful and blaspheming and sinful. God loved us in that condition enough to make a way for us to get out of that condition and to come to Christ and be saved. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how thankful I am and we all should be for Jesus Christ and His wonderful gift to us this Thanksgiving season. And if we get Thanksgiving right, amen, then we're going to get Christmas right. And we're going to talk about that as we move quickly toward this great, holy celebration of our salvation and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, we pray you will be blessed with all the blessings of the cross, but especially blessed by the Blesser who hung on that cross, and that you'll bless Him back with gratitude, love, and deep devotion, that you won't just give thanks, but you will live thanks every day of our life, not trying to repay a sin debt, but to show gratitude for it, because it's a free gift. And thank God, if you're a Christian, we have received it, for we have received Him in our heart and in our life. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible said you're without God and without hope. Who do you thank when something good happens to you? If you don't know Christ, if you don't know the reason for the season, what is it that you could possibly get under a tree or out in the garage, in the yard, a new vehicle or a new home or a new diamond ring or a vacation to Europe? What is it? What is it that could take the place of the hope we have if we have Christ as our Savior? Someone with all these blessings that loses a child and has no hope of ever being reunited. What good is all this stuff? Someone that's lost a husband or a wife, a brother or a sister. What good is the material without the hope of the resurrection, the hope of reunion? Oh, come to Jesus this Thanksgiving season. Come to Jesus, have your sins forgiven. Come to Jesus and be reconciled unto God and be thankful. Truly thankful.